Blog Talk Radio.
On the land itself, except for
We will be leaving Sunday sometime. Haven't made up my mind yet exactly what time we're going to go up, but I need to go ahead and make these hotel reservations after this meeting so that there's no issues there. I don't want to drive up that morning because it means that I have to get up and drive there, like, get up at, like, it's probably about a 5 or 6 hour drive from here up into that part of the state. And so I want to do that Sunday and so I can take my time and, not be in a rush, get there Sunday night, and then we'll go look at the land on Monday. Yeah, Monday. And I will record it, for everybody, and I'll upload it, that visit. But I also want to take Tuesday and be able to go to the closest city or wherever the land assessor or the, I forget what the office they call it, that would have the deeds and have the water rights and all that stuff. So that I can get, what the water depth is, what type of soil is there, yada, yada, yada. That I can come back and, actually do some real planning and then start looking at real products, like, specifically what type of septic tank or septic system could be put in, because that's going to be, one of the first things to be done, to rough that out and dig it out and put that in so that, we'll be ready to bring and to dig. I got to see if there's an equipment rental place up there where I can rent like a small bobcat, because, as I said, the first container that we have brought in, we're going to actually bury it then it will be used for dry storage, that type of deal. So, just trying to get things ready. But we are definitely going to be moving toward that. And so, I'm excited. I'm excited and just excited. I can't, stress it enough. Anyway, let me do this because this is an open meeting. The business meeting is open to everyone to participate in. And we are, let me find out where we're at. In here, I think we were in the government last week, and we probably are still within the government, the structure. Actually, yeah, let's do this because it's been a hectic day and I'm not actually sure where I'm at in here, but I have to find it. Let's do this. Let's pray in, do our statement of faith. We'll call the meeting to order, and then I want to see if anyone has questions to start off on anything, and then I'll see where we're at as far as reviewing this document. Looks like I pulled up a different version from what I was updating. So we'll see. All right, that being said, if you will mute your phones on your end, that way we're not getting the feedback. And then, you know, if you have something to say, then you can always unmute yourself and just speak up. All right, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. And let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the saints, Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for stability, Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. You are truly a good Elohim, Father. There is none like you. Who else shall we turn to? Where else shall we go? Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise today. For you are our Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim, and let's everyone face the east. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon Aaron. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the Mount Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore. Amen and amen. All right. On last night, as part of the ministry, one of the things I want to start doing is, let me do this first. Let me call this meeting to order. So I make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Can I have someone to
second? I second the motion.
All right, thank you.
I third the
all
motion.
All in favor? All right, amen. All in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in order, and we are conducting business. Okay, one of the things that I've been working on, and I stayed up kind of late last night doing, is creating, I've been trying to get some sort of MP4 short messages that I have prepared, like out on Facebook. And not so much to recruit, but I'm going to send it to you guys. Not so much to recruit, but to just send out to people. Because I want, you know, to have, I want to make people think. I want them to think about, you know, their salvation and their walk. I want them to think about what they've been taught. And to go into the scriptures. And so I'm going to post them on Facebook, you know, to hopefully start a dialogue with whoever, whosoever will. But the point of it is to start to make people to think. Because, you know, I am thoroughly convinced, you know, even of myself, that there was a time that the Most High didn't even allow me to see some of the things that I'm seeing. And one of the scriptures in Revelation says that in the last day, the gospel, the actual gospel that would be the message that would go out would be to fear the Most High. That would be what the message is before he comes back. So, you know, we're offering people the gospel of the kingdom. But also, as you know, all know, Most High has had me real heavy on this fear him and keep his commandments. And so when we were reading in Revelation, the last time we were reading in Revelation, we were not studying it. We were just walking through some things. When I saw this verse, you know, you read things sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't stick out to you like it did before. Like, you know, like it did this time. Before it didn't stick out, but so this particular verse said that the last call would be to tell the world to fear Yah. Okay, and so when he had me on this, and I hadn't read this, you know, hadn't recalled this in the scripture being there, and so when this, you know, hit me in the spirit to do it, and we've been on it for a minute to read that scripture in Revelation, and this is what he says would be the call, you know, before his coming, then it put me of the mindset that, you know, the message is on point, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. And so I want to start sending out, you know, through Facebook, through the advertising on there, just little short messages that are maybe in PowerPoint, but they're in a movie format, so, you know, people don't have to click on it. Just click it like a video, and it gives them this message, you know, in a short 5 to 10 minutes. This is what this is about, because I am thoroughly convinced that this demonic spirit that is over this country and over, I feel like, a lot of people that are in Christianity, even, you know, amongst the camps. But, you know, I also want to send it out to the Muslims. Anybody that is of the Abrahamic faith, if they're not of the Abrahamic faith, then, you know, the Most High will have to tug at them and pull them in. So I've been working on, you know, which sins did Messiah die for? Because this is a really big one in there. But other messages that I'm going to be creating, and I will send them to you guys first, you know, send them to your friends, send them to whoever you want to. But, you know, use it to communicate with people for the simple reason that in my spirit, I don't know what's about to happen, but something is about to happen. And so us, you know, the Most I put it on my heart to get the land and, you know, to get away from the city, You know, he had told me about a pandemic coming before the pandemic got here. And I, you know, just had to be faithful and not ever let that go. You know, because sometimes you feel like the Most High tells you something, but then you don't see it manifest. And you wonder, was he really talking to me? Was he really telling me that? But he had, you know, been telling me a couple of 3 or 4 years before the pandemic ever came, even before that, that there was one coming and that, you know, we haven't seen the end of this thing. And so as part of the ministry, part of the message of, you know, the congregation, you know, I pray that, number one, that you all are have a genuine fear of the Most High. If you didn't, that you now do or are developing one. Because it's that fear of him that is going to keep you, it's going to keep you safe. If you genuinely have a fear of him, then you're not going to allow yourself to transgress. You will really think about it. You have to make, you know, a conscious decision. Well, I'm going to do this anyway. Then it's on you. You know, there's nothing I can do about that or with that. But I know that the message to go out in the last days is to fear him and to repent. So to, you know, for men to repent and to actually really fear the Most High for what he's about to do. It's not gonna be pleasant at all. It's gonna be terrible. And so can't say when. I can only say I have to be faithful and obedient and do it. And I would like us to do it as a body. You know, not just Brother Miles on his own. But if you are committed to the ministry and you commit it to and you see, believe in the mission and you understand that we're not just here to attend teachings and that kind of stuff, but we are here to actually do real ministry work, then I pray that you commit as well and that you see the vision, as I said. The getting of the land, the preaching of the message, the message of fearing him, so that we that we give him the proper respect, that he protects us in the coming days, months, and years. Because as I said, I don't know how long, but. You know, I don't like to be unprepared, and I don't like to be disobedient when the Most High puts something in my spirit to say, well, you know, I'll get around to it. There is a sense of urgency, and so, as I said, it'll start, you know, we want to start attracting some of the younger people as well, and I know that the Most High is dealing with them. They just have to hear the word, the right ones hear it, and they will come. And they will be, you know, devoted because, you know, the Most High said to set the expectation that the church never did set. You know, we got people joining churches and feeling like, hey, you know, it's okay if I keep sinning. You know, if I fall, I'm human. And that's not acceptable to the Most High. It's that mentality that says, you know, that I'm not up under the law, or, you know, this doesn't apply to me. But in this first message that I think I started about a month ago and then really worked on it last night. I'm not, you know, I'll send it out tonight. I still may do some changes to it, but you know, it's just short, about 10 minutes, and it's just to show people very quickly, you know, how the Most High, how he forgave sin in the Old Testament, and how it didn't change in the new. Because, you know, people think that this gospel, the good news, they think that is new news. But it's not new. And the Most High didn't change. But, you know, he said, hey, we're not going to sacrifice animals anymore. You're not going to be up under that blood covenant. You're going to be up under the blood of Messiah, not the blood of an animal. And so it's way more serious. But the mechanism for forgiveness and the mechanism for how he looked at sin, especially up under Messiah, it is, it didn't change. So I want people to really be able to see that and understand it so that the seed is at least dropped. That, you know what, maybe I need to rethink what salvation is all about. Maybe I need to rethink what the Most High is really saying in these scriptures, because people are twisting and corrupting the scriptures left and right. And they're doing it so that they can be comfortable. So they can be comfortable in their sin. And that just can't be. You know, so there's none of us who up under the sound of my voice that I want to be comfortable in their sin. If they're still sinning, I don't want them to be comfortable. I don't want you to be comfortable. If you're still sinning, I don't want you to be comfortable in your sin, because that's a straight trip to the lake. And so, as a ministry, as a body, this is the message that the Most High has had me to set forth, to send out. It's not going to be for everyone, and I know it's not going to be for everyone. But for whosoever will, whosoever he gives it to receive it, whosoever he gives it to give them the understanding, because as we read in the scriptures, Messiah said, it is not given to everyone to understand. So the Most High has to, he has to draw them and he has to give them the understanding. And the only thing that you and I can do is give them the word. If they understand it or they don't understand it, like I said, this is one of my problems, because as being a teacher and wanting people to understand, I will teach a thing so many ways that I'm like, how is it that you can't see it now? But the truth of the matter is, that's the teacher in me, but the Most I had to address that in me and say, hey, if I don't want them to see it, you can't make them see it. And so, you know, I had to come out of that from the standpoint, I gotta make you see this. I don't have to make you see anything. All I got to do is teach and preach the word. And so that's what we want to do as a body. But we also want to be living it. You know, that's why I say this document that we've been working on that sets forth of how the saints are supposed to act that belong to Yah's global kingdom. It's not just a document just for the sake of having a document. But as I said, citizenship and the way this we're organized is that we are an organization outside of. We are a government unto ourselves, okay? And so you being members would be citizens of the kingdom of the Most High. But you got to walk and act and be in accordance with the kingdom of the Most High. We can't be saying that we're part of his kingdom, but we don't obey his laws, his statutes, his commandments. You know, that's just being an outlaw. That's just being saying that you're one thing, but actually being another. And so for a lot of people, you know, even having this desire, it won't be easy. Because, you know, when you are in the world and the world, you know, is going to put certain demands on you, you got to understand what you can and cannot do. You got to understand what you must stand up for. And so, you know, this is really being, I don't know if you understand dual citizenship, but you can be a member of more than one country at the same time. But you are in subjection to both of those countries. And so we are in the United States, most of us at least, if not all of us. Those that are listening that may not be in the U.S., then this would, you know, you have to look at the laws in your country. But one of the things that the Most High has for sure shown me, there is not one of us on this call or listening online that is in the U.S. that has a gun put to their head saying you can't leave the U.S. if you want to. Not one of us. So the fact that we are here, it is by choice. It is by choice because you can always get a passport and leave. And where you go, that might be a whole other story, but the truth of the matter is we are not in this country by force anymore. So, you know, it's my understanding that what the Most High has given me is that just like he took Joseph into slavery for such a time as this so that he could deliver his brothers, his family out of the famine, he used slavery to scatter us throughout all the nations of the world, that when he awakened us, that we would be in place to teach and preach the true gospel. And so there is no reason, especially in this country, as I said, there's no reason for us not to be living by his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Because the biggest thing in this country, one of the biggest tenets of this country, is freedom of religion. This country doesn't care who you worship or what you worship. And so we are free to worship the Most High exactly how he says to do it. All we got to say is right here written in this book. And if we're following it, you know, they're not going to just openly let us take a life or anything like that. But, you know, because then they're going to look and see if we're trying to be a government unto ourselves, if we're self-governing, are we living up to the laws of the book? We can't say we're this and then we're contrary. We're saying one thing, but we're doing another. That doesn't work. Then they come against you. Oh, no, you said you were this. So we have to be real about it. And that's the reason for, you know, the bylaw reviews. That's the reason behind the teachings. Because the Most High said the kingdom of heaven is here. It's already here. We're just waiting on our king to come. And what he's doing is saying, until I come back, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom and taking territory. You're supposed to be winning souls. But for real, not doing what, not a fake gospel, not a fake salvation, not a fake life where you're saying that you belong to Messiah, but you steadily in disobedience. That's not what the Most High is looking for. It's not what he wants. That's not what he's not going to accept it. So This is what we are endeavoring to do, to really live the life, not just in you know, by our lips, but in deed as well, in what we do. And we don't want people to look at us and say otherwise. So, you know, you can claim something, but then if what you show people is something else, then they're going to say that you're full of it, full of fertilizer. And they're going to say it's not real. And, you know, let's be honest and be real. It's very easy to be conflicted. It's very easy to get caught up in the cares of this world. And but one of the things that we as a people have to do, if we say we belong to the Most High, then we have to obey His voice. We have to keep His statutes, His laws, and His commandments. We have to, so that when we say that we are part of His kingdom and you don't have any authority over me, to the world government, because this is our citizenship, and expect them to respect it, you have to be doing what you say you're doing. And this is where a lot of the brothers who have good intentions, who, you know, they start organizations, but they halfway do it. And then they don't, even halfway doing it, they don't even do what they say that they're doing. And so we can't be like that. You know, because I know that whatever's written, that's what you have to be doing. Whatever's written. And so, you know, I pray. I really do. I pray that you all can understand this, and that you know, when we're going through the bylaws and what you're agreeing to, that you really agree to it. Don't just agree for agreement's sake, because this is what we are going to be held to by the world. And the world will come against us. Trust me on this. But as long as we stick to what is written, then, you know, I don't have a problem going to court. I don't have a problem standing up in front of man saying, this is who we are. This is the way we live. This is what we believe. And you have no authority. As long as we're not breaking your laws and you just think that, oh, we're heretics or whatever, you're entitled to your opinion. But this is my religion and my faith. And that is number one in this country. Okay? So there's no reason, if I'm going to do it, I'm not going to make up anything. I'm not going to make up a religion, because you can do that. In this country, you can do that. You can make up your own religion, and they will respect it. As long as you're doing everything you're supposed to do, you know, you have in your meetings, and you got this, and you got that. You got some people that believe the same thing you believe. You're a religion, okay? I don't really want to be a religion. I want to be a way of life. This life is already defined by the Most High. And so, you know, I believe that He's coming back. I believe that He exists. I believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe that He speaks to me. I believe that He has kept me my entire life. I shouldn't be here many times over. And the purpose for what He has me here for is not fulfilled yet. So, you know, the bottom line, we're not just I'm trying to tell you, we're not just going through the motions. I'm not just going through the motions. And I pray that you are not either. This takes commitment. And not just to trying to live holy, but it takes commitment to one another. To one another. And so, you know, it is my prayer that we are on the same page and we stay on the same page and that, you know, we're not just doing things just to be doing it, or we don't have that attitude or that mentality. It's very important how you present yourself. It's very important what you say. It's very important what you do. It's very important if you say, to me, if you say, I'm associated with Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries, because there's an image that the Most High wants me to project to the world. There's an image that He wants us to maintain, and we can't be contrary. We can't be contradictory. So, you know, this is where we're at and what we're on. We're going to cover the prohibited conduct of fellowship partners, those that are in fellowship covenant with this ministry. Okay, because let's just be truthful. People are a mess. Just say it that way. Be real. And people play games.
They are a hot mess.
Yes. We play games and got to understand that if you can go by a standard, like, you know, one of the things that I was impressed with this brother from the Black Panthers was that, you know, they're holding all their people to at least the Ten Commandments. To obey them and to project that. Now, whether they are actually doing it, you know, because I sort of heard some conflicting information, but what he was telling me that they are about, you know, and the reason that I didn't actually, I'll put it to you this way. I thought about joining, okay? And, but then the Most High said no. And the reason he said no was simply this. If they can do that for an organization that has nothing to actually really do with him, why won't they do it for an organization that is all about him? And so, you know, people will, they will put on their boots and put on their khaki pants, their camouflage pants, and put on, you know, their little uniform, because they are tied to a group, okay? And they will, as far as I can see, you know, you always got some hoodlum or whatever doing something he shouldn't be doing, but the tenets were right. We're going to live by these standards. And so the Most High has standards for his people. And if we're associated, then we want to also project these same standards and understand that, you know, hey, we don't behave this way. We don't behave like the world. Got to be something different about you. When people look at you, if they are attracted to you because you're like them, they got something in common with you. Because you're acting like them, you're doing what they're doing, but you're saying you're the people of the Most High, there is something wrong there. Just telling you straight up, there's something wrong there. They shouldn't be attracted to you because you look like them or you're acting like them. You may have gone through some common experiences, but they should still see that there's something different about you. I remember in most corporate jobs that I go on, especially since the Most High has been dealing with me this, 20-some-odd years, And actually, I think it's longer than that. Yeah. But I go on a job, and I let the people know right away who I am, what I'm about, so that, you know, I can laugh and joke to a degree. Things start getting out of hand, offhanded jokes, a touch here or there. You know, that stuff, it has to be squashed. Or people will think that, yeah, you know, you're down with it. And so, you know, I've had women come and tell me, you know, I'm going to have you for lunch. I said, no, you're not. You're not having me for lunch. I don't roll that way. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, there was a time in my life I would have put you in jail for saying something like that, just like I would put a man in jail for approaching a woman that she, you know, in a way that she's already told him she don't want to be approached that way. And if he was persistent about it, they call it harassment. Yeah, I put people in jail behind that. Because, you know, people are people. You know, and if a man or a woman sees somebody they're attracted to, if they let them know that they're attracted to them, there's nothing wrong with that. It's when that person tells them, hey, I'm not interested and, you know, I don't want to be approached that way. And then that person is persistent to do it. So then that becomes harassment. Okay. So I have always let them know. No, I'm not the one. I'm not stuck up. I'm not, you know, but there's certain places, certain things I won't let myself go there. Because I know how it can end up. Been there, done that when I was younger. I know where that will go. No, I'm not trying to go there. Not trying to let you put me in the lake. Not trying to let, I don't care how beautiful you are, how fine you are. I don't care how shapely you are. That's good for you. And if it's pleasing to the eyes, it's pleasing to the eyes. However, comma, I can't go there. And so I would always make it known. Can't, you know, this can't be happening. So, you know, we got a level of behavior that is expected. And if you're associated with this ministry, there's a certain level of behavior that I'm expecting. I can't control what you do. Okay. But I can control if I associate with you. And so not trying to, you know, make people into robots or automatons or anything like that, but if we say we are a holy people and the Most High has his standards, then the lesson I was going to do on, I believe it was Tuesday, was dealing with the Most High saying that he will have pity on his name. He will have pity on his name. And he will take Israel back because he promised Israel. Okay? But at the same time, he says, you, Israel, caused the nations to profane my name. How? When you tell them that you're my people and you don't act like my people. Matter of fact, you ain't in your land. But you don't act like my people, so why are you telling people that you're my people? Can we hear that? It says, we cause the nations to profane his name. By saying that we are his people, but we don't act like his people. Oh, that's your Elohim? That's your God? And he let you do that? And you do that? And you're doing this? Can we hear what the Most High is saying? So he don't even want us telling nobody that we're his people if we are not acting in accordance like his people. if you're running around stealing, cursing all the time, you know, just acting stupid, chasing women, chasing men, acting ignorantly, acting unholy, and then say you belong to the Most High, that is contrary to Him. And so He says, I don't even want you telling them that you're my people. If you doing and acting that way, don't tell them you belong to me. That it's not acceptable behavior for me. That's why you're not in the land with me now. That's why you scattered throughout all the nations of the world. Because you're contrary to me. You give me a bad name. And so we want to go over some of these things. Because, you know, I'm for real. Nobody's perfect, and I'm not saying that we don't all fail in some area, in some way, at some time. But the truth of the matter is, we can't just be doing this stuff and never trying to get better, never trying to improve, satisfied with where we're at, who we are and what we're doing, and then we know we're falling short. So I can speak for me. I can't speak for nobody else, okay? I speak for me. I want to make it to see the Father in His blessings and not in His wrath. And so I truly believe that He's coming back. I truly believe he's going to tear this place up when He comes back because of all the wickedness that's in the world. And He's not going to be a respecter of persons. So you say, yeah, I love you, Father, but I didn't obey. That ain't going to go over well. Not going to go over well at all. And so we have to get out of that mentality. And if you're associated with this ministry, I'm going to always be pushing you to get out of that mentality. You're not going to be able to be around me and doing stuff like that and be comfortable. You're gonna rather be someplace else. Trust me when I say this. Because the Father's calling us, and He's calling us to be a certain way. And He's not calling us to pretend. He's not calling us to put on a face, a public face we're one way and in private we're another. Not calling us to that. And so if that's where we're at, you need to either put it down now or just, you know, walk away.
Amen.
Because I already know one bad apple.
Mm.
It says a little bit of leaven does what?
Leaven the whole lump.
So, yeah, the word is real. I believe it.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So, you know, I know we all have our problems. We have issues. We're going through some things. Some more than others. Different things, but I'm asking the Most High to show me your heart. Is your heart to do right? Is your heart to serve Him? is your heart to walk up right before him. Because if it's not, and he shows that, I'm going to be like, hey, sorry. I'm just being real with everyone. I don't care if it's 10 people, 5 people, 100 people, 1,000 people. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be 10,000. Those 10,000 are going to have to be right. Because everybody else is going to hold them to it. So I don't care. You know, we can, the days of playing games are over.
Mm.
So, let me read this to you. We are in Section C, Prohibited Conduct of Covenant Fellowship Partners, those in covenant fellowship with Yah's Global Kingdom Ministries. Any covenant fellowship partner or those who are in covenant fellowship with the body found guilty of the following offenses shall be subject to removal from the body covenant fellowship partnership, from membership, because the bottom line is the scriptures tell us you admonish somebody once. You correct them about that behavior. And then if they do it again, he says that you are to put them out. Because they're not really serious. And they're going to, whatever they're doing, if they're fellowshipping with the other saints, they're influencing the other saints too. So this person may not even have a problem with a certain aspect. Okay, here's a new scenario. We got some sisters that are alone. And they're fine being alone as long as ain't nobody messing with them. But then you got this brother come up, he knows they're alone, and he's intentionally flirting. He's intentionally, you know, trying to butter them up. He's intentionally trying to see if he can get a rise. Maybe a better way to say that. He's got the fornicating spirit, and he's just trying to see who else has it. Those types of things can't be tolerated, even if it's a sister doing it. Sister, you know you're awful flirtatious. You might want to watch that. And then, you know, maybe she wants a husband. Okay, you want a husband, but you need to wait on Yah, and you need to act accordingly. Because if people tipping in out of your place in the middle of the night, there's something else going on. So whatever we do in the dark, it'll come into the light.
And it'll come on.
So, in any way, sowing discord among the brethren, because we got people that do that, just sow discord, always trying to start an argument, always trying to bring one against the other, always in contention, always worried about what's going on over here when that ain't really your business, what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Including but not limited to rumor mongering, tale bearing, and bearing false witness, just lying on people.
Hmm.
Those types of things can't be tolerated. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. The book of Proverbs chapter 6. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Book of Proverbs.
Amen.
All right, amen. So we're going to get verses 16 through 19. Verses 16 through 19. These six things does Yah hate. Yah hates this. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Now, he said the last one is an abomination. It says six things, the first six things he hates. The last one is an abomination. So he don't like people. Let's read this again. These six things does Yah hate. Seven are an abomination unto him. Proud look, that's one. A lying tongue, that's two. Hands that shed innocent blood, that's three. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, that's four. Feet that be swift to running to mischief, that's five. A false witness that speaks lies, that's six. And he that sows discord among the brethren, that's the seventh one. So the first six are he hates. But he really, really, really dislikes one that is sowing what? Discord. They're trying to pit one against the other. He don't like that at all. These things can't be tolerated. If the Most High hates it, we should hate it. So if we got that kind of spirit, we might want to check ourselves. We might want to say, you know, maybe I need to do something about this. Maybe I need to let my nay be nay and my yay be yay before I get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because I might run my mouth too much. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Expected behavior or behavior that won't be tolerated. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now I owe, and when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, amen. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, the problem comes in is when we are contrary one to another. When we say we are believing the same thing, but we really don't. When we got an opinion about something, like I said, the Most High said, the problem with you is you put your righteousness over mine. I said, this is the judgment in this situation. You got your own opinion. You're not even perfectly joined to the Most High. You're in division with him. And then think that it's okay. I'm entitled. Entitled to your what? So, you know, in any given situation, if the word speaks on it, that should be our opinion. That should be our understanding. If the word don't speak on it, then it's open, but then you should also have be well enough studied in the Word and well enough studied in the Most High that you know that this judgment or whatever we think about this should line up with the way he thinks, with the way that he shows us in the scripture. So let's read this again. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing. Well, I got my opinion on this. Okay? And I think this. Okay? When it comes to this word, because, you know, I already know. People have their own understandings. Okay? That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Let's read verse 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. The house of Chloe has been down to y'all place, and y'all sitting there arguing and fussing and fighting. Can't come to agreement about nothing. Every little bitty thing, you find something to nitpick about it.
Hmm.
Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? You see, a lot of people don't understand. They worship men and don't know it. They worship men. I know people who have left the Most High because some man sinned, and they blame the Most High for it because they were really worshiping that man. And when they found fault in him, they found fault in the Most High. Some people will know that who they're following is wicked and evil. But for whatever the reason, they ain't going to let them go. Ain't going to let them go. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So people will find, you know, I grew up this way. This is what I was taught. This is what I believe. If what you believe is contrary to what's being taught, and you can't bring yourself in line with what's being taught, then this is how we get all these different denominations. Because this person can believe this far and this way, and this person can believe, oh, I believe the same thing about the same scriptures. That's where all these different denominations come from. But we are to be of one mind. That way we're not going in all these different ways. We're not trying to accomplish different things. That means we have to be committed to the same thing. We have to understand what the Most High has us on, and we have to be committed that that's what we're supposed to be doing. And if you don't believe that's what you're supposed to be doing, then why would you even be with that group? Because you are contrary. You're not going to be committed to it. You're not going to submit yourself. You're not going to contribute. And then if you do, it'll be a hot mess, because as soon as something comes up that you don't really agree with, then it's going to come out. First Corinthians chapter 12. Now, these are not the words of Brother Miles. We're reading the scripture. We are to be of one mind.
Amen.
one thought. That pray, you know, that's why I say, you really got to know if the person that the Most High has assigned you to, are they of Him?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you with them because they doing what you're doing?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, I'm comfortable here. Are you with them for that reason? You know, I'm going to say it again. If you're walking in sin, if you're walking in intentional sin, I don't want you to be comfortable around me.
Nah.
If you're doing things you know you ought not be doing, I don't want you to be comfortable around me. I don't want you not to be convicted. So then if you comfortable around me and you still doing this stuff on the norm, then I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Hmm.
Amen.
And I don't have a problem with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Excuse me.
Verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. When the rest of you get there, let me have an amen also.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Schisms in the body, he's talking about when things don't operate the way they're supposed to. When there's somebody who is contrary and they're causing the body not to function right. Because, you know, they're running around and they're cussing. They are, you know, they got this conversation coming out their mouth is always contrary. It's always about something that they really shouldn't be talking about.
Mm.
It's always trying to get you into some type of conversation that is going to go someplace it shouldn't go. They always got a hiccup. They're always, you know, falling in sin. A schism. And the Most High says there should be no schism in the body. You know, this one's trying to, they got it out for other people. Or they got offended, now they're against everybody, rather than being forgiving. Rather than saying, you know, well, you know, it takes two to tango, I probably got my part in this as well. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, that one member. We should have that kind of love one for another. We should want to see one another going through hurting, in anguish, even if we feel like they might have brought it on themselves. We still should not want to see them that way. Or if one member is honored, all members are honored. Rejoice with it. This is what Messiah is calling us to. That we honor one another. That we rejoice in our victories. That when we're hurting, we all hurt together. You know, the Most High also ain't on no foolishness either.
Hmm.
Ain't on no foolishness either. Galatians chapter 5. The book of Galatians chapter 5. Verse 20 and 21. When you have it, if you say amen.
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 Some of y'all must have these electronic Bibles. Just type the
verse.
No, brother, I got my regular Bible.
Amen. I'm just picking anyway.
I know. I just had to have something to say.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's actually start in verse 19 for this. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy. 21. Envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. You got people that are doing some things, and they're trying to justify themselves. And it's okay if I do it a little bit. You take your own salvation into your own hands. So, who has a good dictionary?
Say that again.
Who has a good dictionary?
Okay, I got a dictionary. I don't
know how
good it is.
Well, let's see. Look up idolatry.
You need us to look up.
I want you to look up, well, actually, we're going to start at the beginning of this. Now, look at what the world's definition of adultery is. It's not the same definition of the Most High. And I think I can right-click on this word. Adultery. What is the definition in your dictionary?
Adultery, voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and a person who is not their spouse.
Okay. Any other definitions it gives to it?
Sexual unfaithfulness of a married person.
Okay. Any other definition? Did Messiah say that if a man looks on a woman too long and lusts after her, that he has committed adultery?
Already in his heart.
Is that definition in your dictionary?
No, it's not.
Well, okay. Is intrigue, is like it says unfaithfulness, infidelity, intrigueness, cheating, flirtation, entanglement, affair, liaison, hanky-panky, carrying on, fornication, a bit on the side, playing the field, playing around. It says a lot. But being
didn't
intrigued,
say anything
I guess
about
that would...
if you do that thing, doesn't say anything in that dictionary about if you do that and you become an adulterer, that if you marry somebody who has done that, that you also become an adulterer. It doesn't say that, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, see, the world has its own definition for some of these words. And then the Most High has his definition. And the one that the world kind of, you know, has it right, but the Most High is even more strict. Even more strict. So it's not just about cheating. It's not just about being unfaithful. Because you can meet a person. You say, I'm single, you're single. Let's get married. But then one of y'all not eligible. Not by the world, but standard, but by the Most High standard. And then you become adulterers. And so, you know, it's good to look up definitions of words, what the world has given them. It gives you, puts you in the ballpark. But if you really want to know, especially since we're talking about the scriptures, then you need to know what the Most High says about it.
Amen.
And that has to become your definition. Because that's the definition he's going to judge you by. Not the definition of the world. Because the world will do things in such a way that allow it to do things that Most High doesn't necessarily allow. So in my little dictionary thing here, there's a violation of the marriage bed, a crime, a civil injury which introduces or may introduce into a family a spurious offspring. In other words, you know, you out messing around and you made a baby. Then it says, by the laws of Connecticut, the sexual intercourse of any man with a married woman is the crime of adultery. In both such intercourse of a married man and an unmarried woman is fornication in both, and adultery of the man. So this is the state law. Within the meaning of the law respecting divorce, but not a felonious adultery in either, or the crime of adultery at common law or by statute. This latter offense is in England preceded with only the ecclesiastical court. In common usage, adultery means the unfaithfulness of any married person to the marriage bed. In England, Parliament grant absolute divorces for infidelity to the marriage bed in either party, and the spiritual courts divorce a mens et tora. I have to look up that and see what that means. In a scriptural sense, all manner of lewdness or unchastity, as in the seventh commandment. In scripture, idolatry and apostasy from the true God. So now we're talking about spiritual adultery, when you worship another god, idolatry. Now, I got my definitions the Most High when he was talking about us. He called us adulterers and fornicators. I said, if one has to do with the other, if you why would he call you both? But he says, what have I done that would make you have a change of heart toward me? Now you out here fornicating and playing with these other gods, but now you have had a change of heart toward me and you don't want to worship me any longer. Now you're an adulterer. So in the Most High's eyes, even when we have a change of heart toward the person that we gave our heart to, would classify us as an adulterer. This is a place where he doesn't play. Look up fornication.
Want the definition?
Yes, ma'am.
Sexual intercourse between two unmarried people.
Now, sexual intercourse between two unmarried people. Let's jump down. We're going to do it this way so we understand, okay? Because sometimes we got the definition of an adulterer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's drop down to verse 21. And we're going to, I'll just read this. So we got the definition of an adulterer. Envy, murdering, drunkenness, reveling, and of such like. We're going to start with, of the which I tell you before, and as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things, so not what? I'm reading in verse 21.
Oh, okay. Will not inherit the kingdom of Yah.
So, adulterers, if they stay in their adultery, they will not inherit the kingdom.
Nope.
Fornication. People who ain't married having sex. Let's go back down and read this again. Shall not inherit the kingdom. If they stay in their fornication. Uncleanliness. Let's see what they say about uncleanliness in the dictionary. And anybody can read that definition. First one, just go ahead. Uncleanliness or uncleanness. Is the definition in anyone's dictionary? All right, I'll read the one that's in mine. Foulness, dirtiness, filthiness. Be not troubled to thyself or to others by uncleanliness. Be not troublesome to someone by uncleanness. Want of ritual or ceremonial purity. Moral impurity. Defilement by sin. Sinfulness. I will save you from all your uncleanliness. They give Ezekiel 36 as a reference. Lewdness. Incontinence. Now, the Most High says, certain bodily functions make us unclean. Certain touching of certain animals make us unclean. Certain eating of certain animals, certain food make us unclean. Certain thoughts, when we are consumed by them, make us unclean. Back down to verse 21. Shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. Now, I know that this one right here is one that people today just don't take it seriously. But the Most High is very serious about clean and unclean. And it says that if you're unclean, you can't get in. And so, you know, what some people will say, oh, he's just talking about those with an impure mind. I said, that's not what he defined as being unclean in Torah. He describes everything that makes you unclean. Messiah said, it's not what goes into your mouth, but what and what comes out of your body, but what comes out of your mouth, out of your heart. That's a heart portion of that, but there's still some things that are physically that make you unclean. So Messiah wasn't practicing being unclean, or else he would have what? Sin. Because being unclean is a sin. That's what the word tells us. So when, you know, when I first did that study on it, and I saw, sometimes we take words that we have, you know, we have our own understanding of the word unclean. Oh, yeah, so you don't bathe, or you got some type of disease, and we'll put our own definition to it. But then we'll also say, we might say that it ain't sin. But the Most High says that it is sin. And so he says, no unclean person. A person that practices being unclean. In any sense of it. Not going to enter into the kingdom. See, a lot of people think we got to go to this word, lasciviousness. Let me add a definition for lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness. Unbridled lust. Shamelessness.
Always thinking about sex. Always see a picture of something and something, you find something sexual in it. Excuse me. You hear something. It ain't got no sexual connotation to it, but it does to you. That's when a person has a lascivious spirit. Can be reading the word of the Most High and always find some type of way to tie it to sex or pleasure. Interpret the scripture that way. That's that spirit of lasciviousness. Go to bed with sex on your mind. Wake up with sex on your mind. Nothing is holy. That's fine, the flesh. There are people who, this is all they think about. Porn. Addicted to porn, you probably either got the spirit of lasciviousness or on your way to having it. Idolatry. Give me the definition for that.
Worship of idols.
The worship of idols.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say they have to be carved?
No.
So you can make, you can have an idol where? In your mind?
Yep.
You can have a vision of the Most High that it's not him. And you made it up. And you would be guilty of idolatry.
So extreme admiration for love or reverence for something or someone.
That could be a form of, you are worshiping them, you're idolizing them, right? Is that not what that definition is saying?
Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It says extreme admiration.
Admiration? What other words? Because, see, a lot of people don't understand that you have to be careful even what you praise, what you compliment.
Amen.
That's why, you know, when people say certain things about me or most things, I'd be like, to God be the glory. Don't even put me in no type of position like that.
Yes, because admiration means respect or warm approval or something regarded as impressive or worthy of respect. Ooh-wee.
Yeah, it's your frame of mind toward them. And you can be them, lifted them up in your mind. And so you are idolizing them. And we like to think of the extremes. But we have to be very careful. Witchcraft. Somebody
the worship of evil spirits.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Worshipping evil spirits, practicing witchcraft.
The practice of magic, spells.
Okay, so we have to take all those things because witchcraft is kind of broad. Sorcery.
It says bewitching or fascinating attraction or charm.
You kind of mumbled that. Say it again.
Forgive me, I'm on the Bluetooth. It said, let me go back to it. Witchcraft, it says... Also, it says bewitching are fascinating attractions or charms.
You can try to be overly influenced of somebody.
Like voodoo.
She bewitched me by her charms. But somebody who practices trying to influence people in a way to take advantage of them. To get something out of them. To make them behave a certain way. Especially if it's how do I want to word this? If the intent is evil, don't have no good in their heart towards you, so they can appear to be doing something nice, but really, they're doing it to influence you, to make you think a certain way, behave a certain way, or do a certain thing, whatever it is. But they're trying to influence you. Witchcraft is one of those things that... somebody could be in league with the devil. Or they don't have to be in league with the devil. They're just devilish themselves. So they're lighting candles and burning certain things and, reciting certain things. practicing incantations and enchantments, asking for other spirits other than the Most High to intervene. This one covers a wide range of things. Definition of hatred.
A strong dislike or ill will towards someone or something.
A strong dislike or ill will. A person that would rather see harm come to you than good. A person that if they saw your life being threatened, they wouldn't really do anything about it. They could care less. And if it's personal, might wish to see you harmed. Healed, and might even do it themselves. But it says a person that's like that, back down to 21, shall not inherit the kingdom. Variance.
Yes. Not in agreement with anyone.
Always arguing.
Always.
Always contrary. Always contentious. Always starting something. Ain't never happy with nothing. Emulation. Definition for emulation. Even my book don't have a definition for this. Let's see.
Okay, emulation.
Yeah, let me get a definition
for it. Emulation says an effort to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. So an effort to match or surpass a person or an achievement, typically by imitation.
So there's got to be something behind the heart in this. Why are they trying to match? Why are they trying to imitate? Are they covetous?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so I think that's the spirit behind this. If their reason is covetousness, then there's going to be a problem there. If it is to try to be better than them or to take from them. I think the spirit behind this one is going to be what the intent of the heart is. Because we're supposed to try to emulate Christ. But it's not to replace him. It's not to take anything from him. So this one has to be what the intent of the heart. Why are you emulating? I want to be just like you. I want to have what you have. I envy you. Those are the wrong reasons to emulate. Because it comes from a covetous type spirit. Wrath. definition. Wrath, violent anger, vehement aspiration, indignation for someone, so the Most High says he's gonna, that we are saved from his what?
Wrath.
His wrath. He really says that he's the only one that can righteously be angry and take out wrath, because we don't really judge righteously. Our motives for being angry a lot of the times are wrong. But he says, be angry and do what? So we can complete that. Huh?
Sin not.
Be angry and sin not. So don't let your anger cause you to do something that is wrong. But there is such thing as taking an action that's righteous. And it's the right thing to do. But we don't ever want to really act out of violent anger. The Most High says he's going to, that's why I say people better be very afraid, because to be saved is to be saved from his wrath.
Man.
What I'm going to do, you don't want none of it. That's what he's saying. Strife
is being angry or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues such as conflict. So being angry or bitter disagreements over fundamental issues or conflict.
Over fundamental issues?
Yes, son. Over fundamental issues.
Okay. So... get the definition for fundamental.
Amen. Let's go back.
I have another one for Strack. Contentious. Mm-hmm. To quarrel, to argue, to struggle. And the last one of it is hatred.
Okay, so all of those are, you know, contentious is a very good one that should make it easy for us to understand what this word is talking about. But it's when you're constantly against something or someone all the time.
Mm.
You call strife. You are, you know, you don't even want to hear the person's voice, because, you know, if you open your mouth, they're going to have something smart to say, something against it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen to that.
So that's when they are in strife with you. Give me the definition for fundamental, because I'm still trying to put this one together. Fundamental.
Fundamental. It says forming a necessary base or core of central importance. Something that is primarily important, a principle on which something is based.
Okay. And read that definition that used that word. It was the definition of strife, but they said, I want to see how they're using fundamental with that.
Okay, so strife It says angry or bitter disagreement over fundamental issues, conflict.
Okay. So
trouble or difficulty.
Something that should be understood. You know, I guess you could say it in this way. Something that should be understood, common sense. Something that is, I want to say basic, is, you know, people have basic understanding of this way, but you're contrary to it. And probably a lot of times just for argument's sake. Don't really have anything, but just so because you want to be against it. But it's, you know, this is, you know, the fundamentals are those things that they're basic to an understanding. They are necessary to that understanding. But you're contrary to it. You want to argue against it. Let's move on. I'm going to have to dig into that one a little bit more. Seditions.
Rebelling. Rebelling against Yah. Government. Causing dissension among believers.
Causing them to want to do wrong. Want them to rebel against what's been established.
Amen.
We are of one mind, and then we have somebody come in that wants to be rebellious against the way we think or we operate. And so they come against it. They are seditious. You know, backbiting. You know, what he's saying ain't really right. And you could look at this like this. And we ought to think about it like that. But it's contrary. Heresy.
The belief opposite of the oxidine doctrine of a church blasphemy.
Yeah, that is when you don't understand the doctrine of the scriptures. So people get together and they come up and they say, this is what we believe. Like, let's say you're not a Catholic. And because you don't believe the way a Catholic believes, they would say that you're what? A heretic. And you practice heresy because you're speaking against their faith. I'm going to say it this way. Heresy is going to be when you're speaking against the word of the Most High.
Amen.
Not man's opinion. When you're speaking and you're going against the Most High. And the reason why I say that is you got way too many doctrines out here. So for each doctrine, the people who belong to that doctrine or that belief, everybody else is what? A heretic. You don't believe the way we believe. That's what heresy means, that you're speaking against what they believe. You're speaking against their doctrine. And so technically speaking, we could all be guilty of that in one form or another. But when you are in the Word and the Most High is the one teaching you, because he's the only one that can. That says that You have to be taught by the Ruach. The teacher has to be taught by the Ruach. The teacher needs to be filled with the Ruach, the Spirit of the Most High. He's the one that it puts line upon line and precept upon precept. And if all the masses, if it was meant for, if Messiah said the masses would hear the word, but they wouldn't what?
They wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't not only do it, they wouldn't understand it. Remember when we read that?
Yes, I do.
That hearing that they might hear and not, seeing that they might see and not perceive, and hearing that they might hear and not understand.
Understand. Mm-hmm. Amen. You sure did.
That's why I say the Most High has to, he has to give it to them. And anything outside his understanding would be heresy.
Amen.
Outside of his understanding. That's why it's imperative that, you know, you have the Ruach HaKodesh and that you know that you have it. That I won't say it. I keep saying that and I have to stop that. That you have the Spirit of the Most High.
Amen.
Have to. Because he's the one that's going to lead you. He's the one that's going to tell you whether the teaching is true or not. He's the one that's going to allow you to see what the mass can't see. It's not given to them to see. So when we go by the definition that the world is giving into it, then anybody that disagrees in doctrine with each other's doctrine, you can say, oh, we don't believe the same thing you believe, you're a heretic. You say this, that's heresy. But I say the true definition of that is to be out of the understanding of the Most High and what he actually says concerning that, the truth of it. Because there's too many doctrines, too many beliefs, too many understandings. So which doctrine, whatever doctrine you associate yourself to, everybody else is heretic, according to that definition. Envy. Definition for envying.
The desire for something that belongs to someone else. Jealousy.
That goes back to that spirit of what?
Jealousy.
Covetousness.
Oh, my bad.
Actually, covetousness. You desire something that somebody else has. You're coveting it. Belongs to someone else. Murders. Definition.
To kill someone spiritually or their body.
Is that Webster's definition?
Pardon me?
I said, is that Webster's definition?
You know, Brother Miles, I looked these words up a long time ago, and I really don't remember where I got them from. Because I get some of them from different places, you know.
Amen. So give me that definition again.
To kill someone spiritually or to kill their bodies.
Okay. You're going to need to add to that.
Okay.
And the reason why I say you're going to need to add to it, because murder is to unjustly kill someone for no reason. So you can kill someone and it's justified and it wouldn't be murder. If somebody's breaking into your house and they're coming through your window and you shoot them, did you kill them or did you murder them?
You killed them.
You just killed them because you were justified.
Okay. Justifiable homicide.
So is that the...
I got you.
Okay.
So murder is the unlawful premeditated killing. So you premeditated killing someone.
Right. Or premeditated, you thought about it, and you killed them. But again, that's going to have to be whether it's justified or not. I know what the definition is saying. But when you go to war, you are planning to kill somebody. And you are planning it out. Right, you're meditating on it. How do I get at this person? When somebody, you know, if you have a true enemy and they have done something that warrants death, you are going to be thinking about how you're going to do this. So it's murder in and of itself is to take a life unjustly. That's murder. To take a life unjustly, whether you were thinking about it or not. When they say premeditated murder, that means that you thought about how you were going to take this person's life, what, unjustly. You had no reason to take it. They weren't threatening you. They hadn't threatened you. They hadn't killed anybody in your family. You just, you know, premeditated murder means you sat down. Sister Rhea has, I know she keeps $300,000 in her mattress up under her bed. And I'm going to sneak in the window, and I'm going to kill her and take that money. That's premeditated murder. I thought about it. My reason for killing you was not because you had done something to me. It was because you had something what? I wanted. And I considered that it was important enough to me to take your life. To get it. That's unjust. So that's murder. And what the scripture, the word that the scripture actually uses, even though they translate it as thou shalt not kill, the true translation of that is thou shalt not murder. You shall not unjustly take a life. But what does the Most High tell us? All through the Old Testament, if somebody breaks the commandment, what's going to happen to them?
They're
going to die. And a lot of times he tells you that you're going to take them out and stone them. You're going to pierce them through. If you are stoning them or piercing them through or hanging them, are you a murderer? The answer would be no, because you are taking their life justly. So the best example I can give you where it will probably make more sense to you, you're in your house, somebody breaks in, and they threaten you, and they're trying to take your life. You take theirs. Did you murder them or did you kill them?
Killed them.
You killed them. The end result of both is the same. They're what? Dead. But it's the reason why you did it that determines whether it's murder or not. It's whether you were justified. If you weren't justified in doing it, this person walked by your window by your house and you shot them. They had no intentions of coming in your house. They just walked by the window and you shot them. Then you murdered them. Because you weren't justified in what you were doing. Now, what the world will say, okay, let's say, let's give another example here because we got another word that, because it goes to the intent. You have a gun, you're cleaning it, you drop it, it goes off, shoot somebody and kills them. What did you do? Did you murder them? Did you kill them? Or there's another word called, called it's a homicide word, but it's where you it's an accident. So yeah, you took their life, you killed them, but you weren't what trying to kill them. It's like when the Most High says in the scriptures, you were chopping wood. You got an axe. You were chopping wood, and you drew the axe back to chop the tree, and the head came off and hit somebody in the head and stuck in their head and killed them. Were you trying to do that?
No, it was an accident.
It's an accident. And so then he'll say, yeah, you took their life, but you weren't trying to take their life. So he doesn't consider it murder. And so we got to understand that when you murder somebody, you take their life, and you have no reason to take their life. You're not justified in taking their life. That's murder.
Oh, somebody's asleep.
Huh? Who's snoring?
I don't know. Hello?
Sister Denise. That's Sister Denise.
I know.
Huh?
You were snoring. You were snoring.
Oh.
Oh. No, I wasn't. Oh. I'm busted.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You must be tired, my sister. Are we boring? Which one is it?
I am. I'm tired.
Amen. Amen.
She's been
we
up
excuse
all you. This morning.
Amen. We excuse you. I've been there. If I wasn't talking, I might be snoring. Drunkenness. Definition.
Intoxicated. But you know what, brother? Drunkenness can go with gluttonous, too.
It goes with what?
Being a glutton. Being a gluttonous.
A glutton? That means that you overindulge, and they use that a lot of times with food?
Yep. Food and drink.
But you can be you can be gluttonous with anything that you overdo.
Yes, but it also says in connection with drunkenness.
Say that again. I heard the last part, drunkenness.
It also says in connection with drunkenness. That's gluttonous, overeating or drinking.
Yeah. We typically have titles food or drinking. But you could actually use gluttonous or you're drunk with something as an adjective to say that you do it, what, a lot?
Right.
Okay, and this is one of those words, you know, the scriptures tell us that anything that we do, that we overly do it, is not good. Everything should be in moderation.
Amen.
For the most part, there are certain things that the Most High wants us to be overboard with. But when it comes to consuming things like alcohol or food or, power, because, you can hear somebody say they're drunk with what? Power. Just full of themselves. But typically this is going to be dealing with drinking in regards to the scripture, but we could tie it to a lot of things.
Okay.
Anything that we overindulge in that, is just not good for you.
Because so I only had one word for drunkenness, and that's intoxicated.
And we know that's going to deal with intoxication is anything that alters your mind.
Absolutely.
It could be pills, it could be drugs, it could be alcohol, it could be weed, it could be Anything that alters our mind, that causes us not to think, not up under the influence, is intoxicating. My wife used to have some perfume. When I smelled this perfume, I felt like I got high.
Ooh.
And it would actually kick off my vertigo. And you can't wear that stuff. Everything goes to spinning. And it actually would make me sick, but I couldn't say it that way to her. So drunkenness. You can be drunk off of substance. You can be drunk off of principle, such as power. You can be drunk off of infatuation for a person, where you just not, you know, your reactions toward them is just not normal. Anybody else act this way towards you, you would not act that way toward them. But with this person, you are intoxicated with them. No matter what they do, it's like they can't do no wrong, even when you know it's wrong. Reveling. Definition. And wow, we passed time, aren't we? I didn't even realize.
Well, that's the last definition. So.
Yeah, no wonder sister needs sleep. No wonder sister needs to sleep.
It says the action of participating in a lively or a noisy festivity. Especially involving drinking and dancing. Wow.
What, partying, huh?
Yeah, the action of participating in lively or noisy festivities, especially involving drinking and dancing. Wow.
Can we say it like the young people say, they turning up?
Say it again?
They're turning up.
Can we say it like the young people? They turning up.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they call it today, turning it up.
Turning up.
But wait a minute. It says, if you do that, you shall not inherit the kingdom.
What is that?
So we be doing some things, whether it's in our youth or because, you know, we don't know no better. We don't know what's wrong. We want to celebrate something. We want to express ourselves. And we grew up in the world, going to house parties and, you know, house party people getting drunk and smoking weed and smoking cigarettes. I remember, you know, when I was a young man, none of this stuff was off the table. And that, like I said, then when we come to the Most High, we find out that it's contrary to Him. And He says, if you stay doing that, what? You're not going to enter into the kingdom. Because you got some people that live the party every weekend.
Yes, they do. And old people. Don't forget that.
Yeah. I never leave out old people. In nothing. Just because they old don't mean that don't mean nothing.
No, it don't.
I never leave out old people. When I say young people, because I'm talking about myself. I was young and dumb, foolish. Amen. And then I read the word of Yah and learned that a lot of my ways were not the ways of the Most High. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with them when I was doing it, but then Yah said there was something wrong with it. And I believe Yah. So that's what I had to go with. So a lot of these things, like smoking and drinking and all this stuff, like I said, I gave it up totally 30 years ago, over 30 years ago. But, you know, certain things like smoking and stuff, I was doing it, but I never really liked doing it. I was doing it because I started off with peer pressure, and then I got hooked. There was a time I couldn't put a cigarette down. And so, you know, I had to, like I said, I had to find something, someone that I loved more than me, and that was the Most High. Made him a promise. I won't do it. Let me go this long and I won't do it. Never been back to it. All right, so we're going to stop here because we're at 15 after the hour. But, you know, people got to understand they're practicing a lot of these things and still saying that they want to enter into the kingdom. Not repenting of it and making an excuse. And if you don't repent of it and turn away from these things, you won't enter in. Especially when we knowingly do it. We willingly do it. We know we ain't supposed to be doing that, but we do it anyway. And then we want to justify ourselves. I'm just telling, you know, showing you in the scripture, if you do those things, you're taking your own salvation into your own hands. You know, it's like saying, why would that person, they just saw you poison that apple, but they're going to go up and bite it anyway. You know it's going to bring you death, but you're going to eat it anyway. We know these things will bring us death, but we're going to do them anyway. Is there something wrong with that? Do you think that person is thinking? Do you really think that they are thinking soundly? Probably not. If you know something is going to kill you, you know something is going to bring you death, but you're going to do it anyway, then either you don't love your life or you don't believe it's going to kill you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. Father, we come before you in the spirit of meekness, in the spirit of humility, with a sober mind. Stayed on you, Most High. Father, give us the strength and the heart not to do any of these things, not to be found doing them, not to be caught, not to do them secretly, because you have said that these things, anyone who practices these things will not enter into your kingdom. And we may not know, but you know, Father, who is and who's not. I pray that you would keep us all from such temptations and that you would deliver us from the evil thereof. But give us your spirit, Father. The spirit of love, the spirit of joy, the spirit of peace and long-suffering, the spirit of gentleness, goodness and faith, spirit of meekness and temperance. For you have said, against such there is no law. You don't tell us how joyful to be. How much love to give, how much joy to bring. Father, look on each individual's circumstance. Meet them where they are. Provide for their need. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. On tomorrow. On tomorrow, I don't know what the precept's going to be yet. Oh, I do. We're going to be back in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant. Got to stay persistent and finish that up so that we know. Nobody can be, have an excuse to say that we didn't know. So we will be back on that. We will be reviewing where we left off at. We'll start there, and then I think I want to do the precept I was going to do Tuesday, but I'll probably do it Sabbath morning, concerning Yah will have pity. Yah will pity his name. They're going to do that precept Sabbath morning. So we can see the promises that we have coming to us, but also that we know how the Most High feels about us when we say we represent him, but we don't act like we belong to him. So that we're not contrary to him. Love you all. Sister Denise, go fight with that pillow. Because I believe the wall is killing you over there. But we, you know, it's good to laugh and joke and play around. Well, play around to a degree.
Amen.
But yeah, love you all, and look forward to seeing you all tomorrow.
Love you too, bro.
I'm probably gonna send out this this little short video on which sins did Messiah die for. Just to watch it, see what you think about it, share it, just give it out randomly. It's not, you know, it's small enough where you should be able to email it. I need to make sure of the size of this too before I say that. You know, share it with your friends. I'm going to be doing more of these. But then we'll also, like I said, use them to go out on Facebook. We're going to try to perfect it. And it's called The Truth of Yah's Word. So I want to address those subjects that I know the world is contrary, that they're teaching something other than what the scriptures are saying. And use it as a conversation starter, or I'm not going to really get out there and debate with anyone. Been there, done that, not going down that road anymore. Not for just debate's sake.
Amen.
It is, if it's unfruitful, then no, we don't want to be doing it. You know, I will debate scriptures if I am, let's say that I'm in doubt about a certain subject, and I have pros and cons about it, then I may debate the scripture because I may want to hear what the Most High has shown other people concerning it. But just a debate for the debate, because, you know, you might change my mind or I might change yours. You might show me something in the scripture and say, oh, I didn't see that like that. The Most High didn't allow me to see it that way, or he didn't give me that filter. But give me a different view. I can... I'm not so dogmatic that, you know, I can't be taught. I can't learn. Because Most High says he doesn't give it all to any one person. So there's somewhere, something, somebody can show me. And so I'm not so puffed up and proud to ever think that I can't be. Nevertheless, send it out. This is to provoke conversation, to get people to say I didn't see it in the scriptures that way, to debunk, because, you know, yeah, to debunk some things that are being taught that are, I truly believe, are going to cause most people to go to the lake. This one subject by itself. So I pray that you find it informative, that you find the thought process or the way that I'm presenting it as logical, in such a way that, you know, it doesn't lose somebody, but, you know, will guide them into that they really need to take what Messiah did seriously. Stop trying to use him for, you know, a sin ATM. Just sinning and then saying, I'm sorry, and thinking that it's all good. So I explain salvation. I go into the salvation according to what the Most High says in Torah, and then show how it did not change. The principle did not change in the New Testament. So if this brings you death in the Old Testament, if you do it in the New, it still brings you death. You have to do what it says to get life. Anyway, may the Most High encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, beloved, remember, I love you, but I can't love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Oh, stop. I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. I mean, that we bring this meeting to an end.
I second.
Amen. I second.
Amen. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Say nay. The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. Peace and blessings, family.
Shalom. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
And where am I at on here? There we go. All right.
I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. hanging with the mishmaka, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you? Live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth.
Does brown taste like? Nothing. That's why Zevia doesn't use artificial colors or flavors in our zero sugar sodas. Find vanilla cola, creamy root beer, and other naturally delicious Zevia sodas in stores.
Want to get immersed in one of the most pure bodies of water on the planet?
These kayaks, they are totally 100% clear and transparent.
And take a deep breath on hiking trails within walking distance of popular South Lake Tahoe casino hotels.
This is one of the prettiest places I've been.
We're diving into accessible nature in stunning Lake Tahoe, an area that's a leader in sustainable travel, and where dreamy locations will inspire you to recreate responsibly. Search for the Travels with Darley podcast on iHeart for Lake Tahoe vacation tips and a virtual escape through my series.